Jesus and the Christ. Some recent communications. Forward. What do I mean exactly, Jesus and the Christ? Aren't they the same being? Well, in my eyes, not exactly. They were during the approximately 3 years of Jesus' ministry, leading up to that elaborate bit of passionate, epoch-defining drama known to us as the crucifixion. But other than that, I believe they were two distinct entities. Working towards the same goals, of course, and certainly on the same team, but quite distinct. The Christ, I believe, is that evolutionary force, sometimes abstracted, sometimes personified, which seeks to inspire and re-inspire our spiritual questing on the planes of form. As light is both a particle and a wave, depending on how and when you observe it, the Christ is both a cosmic energy and a unique being. Whether we deign to take notice or no, it permeates our human consciousness with the light of love and understanding. And it also overshadows all movements and individuals who sincerely and altruistically attempt to amplify and expand the religious faith and spiritual understanding of mankind. Although in this book I am concentrating on the twin expression of Jesus and the Christ, who has more recently come to be called Maitreya, some sources of esoteric teachings suggest that the Christ overshadowed many prophets, Krishna and Buddha as well as Jesus, and that to mention but three. As the various esoteric texts, both traditional and modern, make varying pronouncements concerning exactly who constitutes that body of elevated souls, sometimes known as the Ascended Masters, and sometimes the Inner World Government, but who I sense would prefer to be seen as some interplanetary guiding council, I shall refrain as best I can from taking sides. Suffice to say that a group of souls who have successfully completed their earthly missions, exhausting all the desires and fears which keep the rest of us here breathing and striving, are actively involved in all the life processes of this planet. That myriad of activities, both seen and unseen, which keep the wheels turning, as it were, and who are dedicated to all our eventual enlightenments. They are the divine stable from which Jesus and the Christ easily emerge to cajole and communicate. As one absorbs the esoteric teachings from various sources over the years of one's initial discipleship, one sees the inevitability of assuming a personal understanding of Jesus and the Christ, one that feels right, comfortable, appropriate to you, one that recognizes the experiencing you not as a defined entity, but as a fluid process which is always changing, adapting, evolving. The teachings provide a starting point, a springboard, but in order to profitably interact with these beings, the disciple has to commit to some specific form of relationship over and above the definitions and directives already achieved. For me, that came to seeing Jesus as the shining, if not perfect, example of the Son of God phenomenon. He who hears his status and mission whispered on the breezes, but whose very human brain incarceration limits his grasp of the overall plan, supplanting his inspiration with doubts and anxieties. While the Christ serves as the powerhouse behind and the embodiment of that spirit of unconditional love which renders all sentient beings into a brotherhood of dignity and equal opportunity. On one level, it was the blood of Jesus, which lubricated the soil of this planet with an upgraded energy. And on another, it was his psychic channeling of the Christ's cosmic being, which anchored a higher vibration onto the etheric body of the planet. I do not seek to force this conceptual understanding upon the reader, but I do feel it is important that the assumptions I am working from be made clear. I am merely one who has surfaced above the waves of his doubts and initial lack of self-esteem to participate in such communications. That there are several others in the metaphysical field who are currently engaged in transcribing their own sessions in this way is well known to me, and I in no way seek to supplant their efforts, feeling that all work in this area is to the eventual good and God of all. Introduction. During the composition of my second afterlife book, More Adventures in Eternity, I, in my role as recording secretary for intelligences beyond that of Gordon on the physical plane, began to see a pattern emerging. Henry was showing me that an intrepid explorer of the psychic, spiritual, non-physical realms could, if he, she deemed it possible and felt worthy, could contact any evolved intelligence in the manifested, or unmanifested for that matter, universe, and be the recipient of intelligible communications that might or might not enhance their understanding of form, sentience, and spiritual evolution. It became, if not exactly obvious, then at least apparent, that as far as ensouled entities were concerned, one could access both the high and the low, hear their messages, and decide whether they were useful to your current state of growth. While I, physical plane Gordon, as he currently understands himself, was perhaps more intrigued with the various monadic level mergings with higher self, the communications and sense of comradeship with Maitreya, Jesus, and Buddha were far from commonplace or mere badges of conceit. Perhaps I thought they were like the psychic abilities, the siddhis, those almost automatic exfoliations of inner growth, to be embraced and absorbed as one expanded into the more of one's journey. I felt, of course, quite blessed, but certainly no more special or singled out than any devout religionist who felt the presence of their beloved prophets during devotions. As one moves through the glamour of powers towards the presence, that divine understanding which requires no further action or reaction, one knows that humility, shorn of timidity, is the preferred vehicle. Now, some months later, Gordon finds himself occasionally channeling these exalted beings, who seem to care little for the praise bestowed upon them, preferring that we act upon the essence of their ancient wisdoms instead of being satisfied with the lip service that has become all too often the norm. Before moving on to those channeled messages, let me remind the reader that there were experiences which introduced me to these sources. They were first mentioned in my second book, More Adventures in Eternity, and will again be detailed in the mass market edition of this current work. And finally, let me also remark that I consider myself no more than a messenger, the boy on the bike who delivers the package.